You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive's auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Hello, gang, and welcome back to another installment. I have a fun one lined up for you here tonight. All sorts of weirdness to share. So let's just get right after it. Hailing from the state of Arkansas, please welcome Helen as tonight's very first contributor.
Hi, Derek. This is Helen from Arkansas. In 2003, my father passed away, and my mom, understandably, after 50 years of marriage, was mourning for him. So I spent a lot of time with her, and one morning when we got up, she came in and she said, "I had the strangest dream last night." She said, "I was dreaming that your father was walking away from me and I couldn't catch him. And it was odd because he had on a long coat that I had never seen him wear before." She said, "I kept trying to reach him and I finally was able to touch him on his sleeve. And when he turned around, it wasn't your daddy. It was someone I'd never seen before." And she goes, "It was just so strange. I keep racking my brain trying to figure out who this man was." So we kind of just thought that was a strange thing to happen. But she was mourning for my dad's loss. So, you know, we just kind of put it up to that was probably why she had the dream. Well, fast forward to 2012. During that time, my mom had moved from her home into an assisted living. She had her own apartment. There were lots of people her age, you know, in their 80s that were there. And she was talking to me one day and she was telling me about a gentleman who had recently moved in to the facility. And he was super nice guy, and he was having a hard time. He had lost his wife of 67 years, and was really missing her. And him and my mother, you know, visited, talked, and they became very, very close and actually formed a relationship. Virgil and my mom, Mary, were pretty much a couple, and it was very exciting to see people in their 80s, you know, find love again. So one evening, my mother called me, and she said, "I have something to tell you." And I was like, "Well, are you and Virgil getting married, you know?" And she laughed and said, "No, they were going to go to the bank." And so she was leaving her apartment and meeting him downstairs in the lobby. So when she got down there, the lady at the desk said, "Well, he's already walking outside." So she hurried and walked out to find him. It was cold. And she looked at him, and he had on a long raincoat. And so she was running behind him. And when she reached and grabbed his arm and he turned around, she realized that he was the man in her dream from 2003. And she was kind of flabbergasted about it. You know, I basically was saying maybe that was my dad's message to her, that she may, well, find love again. And they did. They were a great couple, great friends. Virgil became a part of our family, and we loved him. Unfortunately, he did pass away in 2020, and then my mom followed in 2024, and they were both in their 90s at that time. So, kind of a happy ending, starting from a dream and then having that dream be realized. Thank you, and stay spooky.
Thanks, Ellen, for calling in. And don't worry, we always keep it spooky around these parts. And how about that? A love story and a premonition. Not a bad way to kick things off here tonight. Now, of course, this brief but strange experience can be seen as a premonition. It certainly seems that's how Helen and her family perceived it. Or at least as a sign from the late father that there is someone coming to fill the void that he left. Or maybe a mixture of both. But how else would this be explained? Does this stray into time slip territory? Is this a ghost of the living? Or just a good old-fashioned coincidence? However you explain it, we sure did enjoy hearing about it. So thank you again, Helen, for the entry. Now, folks, it's time we take our first ad break of the evening, but I'll be right back with more spooky tales right after this.
Maybe the source of our trial, our difficulty.
People in California.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive's auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps. with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I feel like a perfect storm in a sewer.
.org. 24-hour
news. Now, folks, if you're tired of hearing ads, don't forget you can avoid them completely for only $1 a month. Where else can a dollar stretch that far? Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab to get yourself signed up. But in the meantime, I'm going to get this next entry rolling. Please welcome Solano to the program.
My name is Solano. I'm from Boston, Mass. And I am a facilities manager, and I oversee shelters and congregates for immigrants. This morning, one of our clients broke the key on her doorknob, so I had to call a locksmith to come out. This unit is on the third floor, and there's two rooms there, room 3 and 4. The lockout was in room 4. So when the locksmith arrived, we went up there to the third floor, to unit 4, and we knocked on the door to let him know that, you know, we were going to go in. And we heard someone go, "Who's there?" And, you know, the locksmith went, "Oh, it's the locksmith." And, you know, I said the company name, and I said, "We're with maintenance." And the locksmith started playing with the door and to let him know that at one point we were going to go inside the unit. So he puts his little tools in the doorknob and eventually, you know, gets a turn in the core and opens the unit, and it was empty. So I'm like, "Oh, it was probably the lady next door." You know what I mean? And we both made that comment. I'm like, "Oh, it's maybe it was the lady next door." So then he manages to pull the core out of the doorknob and he's trying to fish out the key. Meanwhile, I'm standing in front of room 3. And all of a sudden, I get a cold chill down the back, like if somebody was blowing behind me. And I said, "Oh, like maybe the lady in unit 3 has the windows open." And, you know, it's Boston. It's very cold and you're not supposed to have the windows open. So I knock on the door and I hear a person inside. And then, you know, I say, "Oh, it's maintenance." I went to see if the door was unlocked and it was totally unlocked, and I open it and there was nobody there. And then I look at the locksmith and we both look at each other and he's like, "Did you feel that?" And I said, "Yeah." And the whole room got cold and I said, "There's no one in here." And he's like, "Dude, that was weird." And I'm like, "Yeah, that was very weird." And then I realized that both of the people that are in this unit don't speak English at all. They're from Haiti. So then he leaves. I'm freaked out. I tell my coworker at another congregate what happened. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, a lady died there 2 years ago. She overdosed." And I was like, "Oh, was it like a white girl?" She's like, "Yeah, it was like a young white Italian girl. She like overdosed with her kid." And we heard her voice because it was a very soft voice from like an American girl. Like I said, the people that live in this unit currently do not speak any English. So there's no way they would have said, "Who is there?" in perfect English. And it just freaked me out. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Solano. Now, I had the exact same thought. I assumed it was probably just a neighbor. That makes perfect sense, after all. But it sounds like Solano pretty much debunked that concept, given that the unit was empty and the current tenants do not speak English. Now, when you throw in the fact that a woman died there recently, it's all starting to add up. Now, I'm not qualified to say if the place is or isn't haunted, Solano, but it certainly sounds like it could be. Thank you again for taking the time to share. And folks, if you'd like to share a tale of your own, a true tale, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now remember to call from a quiet place. One story per call. Only share a story once and call back if you run out of time. There is a 5-minute limit per recording. And don't worry, our amazing editor, Connor, will splice it all together for you. So again, that's 888-608-NIGHT or monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. We have operators standing by. Now back to the action and back to the East Coast. Please welcome Francis from New Jersey.
Hi, my name's Francis, and I'm from New Jersey right now. I'm originally from New York. This happened to me when I was a teenager. You know, how it used to be was that my grandmother and my father would go out during the day to kind of go shopping, and often when they came home, they would shout out to me to come help them to bring the groceries into the house. We had two houses. My grandma lived in the back one. Me and my father lived in the front one. It was very old. It was one of the oldest houses on the block in Brooklyn. We were in Bensonhurst. And the front room used to be used as like a traditional parlor. I know for a fact my great-grandfather was laid out there for his funeral. And he died very tragically. And one day I was in the shower and all of a sudden I hear my name being called. So I hear, Francis, Francis. My dad's got a really thick Brooklyn accent. And, you know, as a teenager, you get irritated. Got out of the shower because he kept calling my name. I was screaming, yeah, yeah, what? So I get out of the shower. I go to the living room where I think my dad might be or look outside to see if they were in the car, and there was nobody. So, okay. I go back in the shower. Same thing happens again. This time I get out of the shower quicker. I run. I look. There's nothing. This happens one more time. And finally, it is actually my father. He's outside finally. And I throw on some clothes quick. I go outside. And my dad is out there and they just pulled up. I said, yo, were you calling me? He goes, just now. And I go, what about like 10 minutes ago? He said, no, 10 minutes ago, we were, you know, kind of far away. We were a couple blocks away. We were coming back from shopping. That was the one weird story that happened to me as a teenager. I had to be like 16 or 17. The other thing that happened at that particular house was one night, sort of in between that dreaming state, as I was drifting off to sleep, I heard my name being called again, but this time it was right up against my ear and it was just Francis. And it wasn't just my name being said. I could feel the breath on my ear of the person or whatever entity that was speaking to me. Now, could it have been my dream? Sure. Now, I know that the first voice, the voice from the shower, was a man. The second voice, the one that was close to my ear, was definitely more female, more feminine. But that house, there was always noises going on. It was an apartment upstairs that had been empty for months when I was a teenager, and me and my dad both regularly heard footsteps up there to the point where we actually went upstairs with, we had a rifle in the house to see if someone was up there, and it was always clear, it was always empty. But thank you, and great show, man. I love it.
Thank you, Francis. As eerie as all those experiences were, it was something Francis said in his call that I can't stop thinking about. He'd mentioned that his great-grandfather's viewing was held there in the home. And given that he died tragically, I wonder if there's a chance that his spirit ended up lingering about a little too long. Now, it might sound odd to you, a funeral in the home. But back in the day, that was just how they did it. And for more on that unusual practice, here is a clip from Carrie the Mortician from over on YouTube.
Hey, so you guys ask, why is it called a funeral parlor? So a parlor was a room in a home where you received your guests back in the day. You know, the formal room used to be called a parlor. Around the time of the influenza outbreak in the early 1900s, bodies weren't able to be buried fast enough, so they had to stay in the home. They laid them out in the most logical room, which was the parlor. Probably had a cooling board table there, tried to keep the body as cool as possible. But then on the flip side, you needed a space to hang out, which became your living room. It often had the family's most valued furniture, a fireplace, that formal, stuffy, sometimes uncomfortable furniture. The parlor also often had windows that were dressed by heavy drapes, open during the day, closed at night to keep the insulation in because houses didn't have as much insulation. Now later, funerals transitioned to the funeral parlor, or the funeral home after the Civil War. And it didn't just happen overnight. It was decades of a change shift in happening.
Now, the reason this little detail stuck with me is if the haunting that Francis experienced was caused by this ritual, I wonder how many other homes out there have been affected the same way. The current owner of a home is dealing with the ghostly ramifications of a funeral held 130 years ago. Who knows? Maybe I'm way off here. Or maybe this is exactly how all this works. Either way, we thank you for sharing those experiences, Francis. It's always fun to have family nearby, dead or alive. Now, how many of you out there have trouble sleeping at night? Well, maybe Alan's story here can explain why that is. Please welcome him to the program.
Hey, Derek. This is Alan from Cadillac, Michigan. So I was born in 1969. So as a child here in Cadillac, we're in, you know, northern Michigan, and lived out in the country. And there just wasn't a whole lot going on. A very simple life that we lived. And man, I would have these horrible, horrible things where I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd look, and there would be a dark figure in the corner of my bedroom. And I would just remember sitting there being terrified, and it was in the corner right behind the door that led out of my room. And it would freeze me. I would try to holler for my mom, and I could not open my mouth. I was so scared. I couldn't move. I would just stand under the covers, try to shut my eyes, and it would just not go away. It would just be there. And then, you know, at some point, I just head underneath the blanket, fall asleep. But it continued. I mean, this went on for a long time. I typically had to have the door cracked and, you know, just something to get some kind of light in the room to kind of break up that spot in the bedroom. I slept in there with my older brother. He had another bed over our side, of course. You know, he's 8 years older than me. But I remember, you know, distinctly this over time, it's like that shadow would show up and it would get closer. And I remember waking up one night to see the shadow standing at the end of my bed. And it was, again, I was frozen. I couldn't move. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. I was trying to call for my mom. And I remember hearing it basically in my head, but it was like nothing was coming out of my voice. And it was just like crazy. And then I remember at one point waking up and it was standing right next to me. I could see just a black, almost like a cloaked figure next to my bed. And it started to walk towards me at my bed to where I felt it, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I felt it walk into me. And it's like everything in the room became distorted. It was almost like looking through a fishbowl. Everything just kind of had all this like distorted images of what little I could see in the dark. And it felt like it just walked right through me. But as it was walking through, it was on my chest. And I could feel the weight. And I remember trying to kick my feet, couldn't move. And it was just crazy. Again, this went on for quite a while. Fast forward, you know, later on in life, I discovered, you know, like Mysterious Universe. And I mean, I was much older then. And then they started talking about, you know, these shadow people. Imagine being, you know, in your late 20s or 30s or whatever it was when that Mysterious Universe first started, and to then have like an answer, you know, to a childhood thing, suddenly like, oh my God, that explained so much to me. And then later at a point, I had talked to my sister. I never talked about it. And she had said, yeah, they used to come to her room, and she goes, they would leave my room and they go down the hallway towards your room. But neither one of us talked about it, you know, until, you know, we're like in our 30s as adults. And yeah, it gives me goosebumps just now even thinking about it. Anyway, thanks a lot for sharing all the stuff that you do. Enjoy your podcast. Take care and have a great night. Bye.
Thanks, Alan, for the phone call. Well, what do you think, your gang? A child's nightmare? Sleep paralysis, perhaps? A prank perpetrated by the older brother roommate? Or was this simply a shadow entity? One that got a little too close. or was this a genuine creature encounter of some sort? Your guess is as good as mine. But to have the sister back it all up, that's certainly something. Now this is incredible stuff, Alan, and certainly not the only time we've heard details just like it. So thank you again for sharing the tale.
Are you planning for your retirement?
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive's auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
One to hit
for the checkout counter.
Now, speaking of strange, dark figures doing unusual things, get a load of this entry from Keith over in the UK.
Hi, Derek. This is Keith. I'm in Manchester, England. Here's a story of what happened to me when I was 15, back in 1979. I was living at home with my mum and dad, and it was the Christmas school holidays. New Year was over, and I think there was just a few days left before I went back to school. At that time, I shared a bedroom with my older brother. I went to bed about 11 o'clock. My brother wasn't home. He was round at his girlfriend's house. And I fell asleep fairly quickly. I must have been really tired. The next thing I remember is being awake. And when I say awake, I mean really awake. A sudden sense of complete alertness and total awakening that you get when instinctively you know there's something wrong. I remember being really surprised. Back in those days when I went to bed, I slept right through. I looked at the alarm clock at the side of my bed and the clock said 11:40. So that was even more puzzling. I'd only been asleep for about 40 minutes. It was then I noticed that there was a figure in my room standing by my bed, and this was the perfect silhouette of a male human form. It was the kind of thing you'd see if you saw some sort of warning signal with a figure of a human being, you know, just a complete black silhouette. There was absolutely no light in this thing whatsoever. It was totally black. My room was actually quite gloomy. There's a reasonable bit of light in there, so I could see this thing very, very clearly. It was very well defined against the gloom of the room. And the figure was actually very well defined, quite athletic and muscular. I also noticed that where the eyes should have been, it was two, what could I only describe as white pulsating stars, just like the kind of stars you see in the sky, but these things are pulsating. And there was a kind of aura around the outside of this thing, which was like a sort of electric blue. And within the actual aura itself were more little white pulsating stars. Initially, I wasn't concerned because I lay there and I thought, well, you know, I mustn't be awake. I must be half asleep. And after a few seconds, this thing hadn't moved and it hadn't disappeared. So I thought, okay, this is just my eyes haven't adjusted to the light, you know. There's clearly no one in my room. I'm at home in my bedroom. My mum and dad are in the bedroom next door. This is some sort of trick of the light. And if I stare at this long enough, it's just going to disappear. And then at that point, this thing, like I say, which was actually stood by my bed, I should say, leant slightly forward as though it was kind of leering over me, suddenly started to move closer and closer. It was bending over me more and more and more. And it wasn't a sudden, deliberate, sort of aggressive move as though it was some sort of attack. It was very gradual, quite casual, as though this thing was curious. And at that point, I thrust my hands out to try and stop it by putting the flat of my hands against its chest, thinking it was going to be something solid. What happened was my hands literally went right through the thing. It was just like it was there. There was literally nothing there. And before I had a chance to absorb that and sort of process it mentally, the thing just literally split into six separate pieces. And these pieces were like the goo that you get inside of a lava lamp, that sort of amorphous blob. And so there's about six of these pieces, and they just literally hung there in the air for about 3 or 4 seconds before then just disappearing into like a mist. Now, as at that point, I literally screamed the house down. You know, I was absolutely terrified. My mum and dad came rushing in to see what was wrong, and it was all kind of put down to, you know, a nightmare, which I knew it wasn't. You know, what I was going to say to my mum and dad. Anyway, soon after that, my brother came home and I managed to get to sleep. I would say for about a month afterwards, I was terrified of going to bed at night and terrified of going to sleep because I knew what I'd seen was real. I knew it wasn't a dream. I knew I'd been awake. But, you know, being 15, going on 16, I eventually managed to convince myself, well, you know, it was a dream, you know. And I literally forgot all about it. That's until about 5 or 6 years ago when I started developing a renewed interest in the kind of paranormal and weird things. And I found quite a number of videos on YouTube about shadow people. What was quite spooky was I realised that my experience mirrored thousands and thousands of experiences that people are having all over the world. But I'd never, ever seen anything that referred to shadow people. I'd never heard of it. You know, it's not as if it was the idea was there in my mind. It was only in the last sort of 5 or 6 years that I've put two and two together and realised the kind of experience that I've had. Anyway, I just thought I'd share my experience. So thank you very much, and I love the show.
Thank you, Keith. Now, unsurprisingly, Keith's isn't the only story with eerily similar details to come out of jolly old England. I also received the following entry that perhaps describes something similar. I will let you be the judge. Please welcome Anonymous out of England.
Hi there, calling in with a story about an orb in London. It was New Year's Eve 2021. We were still under lockdown. It was 10 past 10. Back then, we were living in Wimbledon. We were renting a flat on the first floor, which is, I guess, second floor in America. We have ground floor here in London. It was an old Victorian house. We were just chilling as it was still lockdown. The cat was sitting on my lap. My partner was cooking some dinner in the kitchen. I was watching just something on the telly. I did have one glass of champagne as it was New Year's Eve. I promised you I did not have more than that. There was nothing inside the champagne glass before anyone asks. Suddenly the cat jumped up, looking very alert. I thought to myself, what now? Is something happening outside? Silly kitty. Then the cat suddenly ran off, big tail, keeping really well to the ground, really scared. He never acts like that. I've never seen him more scared in his life. So I went up to the window and I thought, great, I hope nothing really horrible is happening outside. So what I thought first was just a bean bag, a black bean bag floating down the road. And I thought, great, maybe I should go out and just grab it and bin it because, you know, obviously garbage. Then I thought, there isn't a lot of wind, so how is this flying like this? And I kind of blinked and I thought, perhaps it's a balloon? It just kind of floated in a straight line, almost sliding really bizarrely, like everything around it was moving and it itself wasn't moving. It was so strange. And I was thinking, oh, should I go out? Shouldn't I? And at that point, the black bulb, the black orb, just stopped, turned 90 degrees towards my window. You would think that at this point, I would think this is something strange. Grab my phone, film it, call my partners, do something. No. I genuinely thought, oh, great. I can open the window, grab this balloon, pop it, let the cat sniff it so it's not scared anymore, and bin it. Just as I was thinking that, said balloon stopped about, I say, half a meter to a meter away from my window, just far enough so I can't grab it. I had a really good look at it. It was absolutely silent. It was black, silvery black. It moved almost like as if it was made out of a liquid metal of some form. There was no visible cameras, no visible propellers. It was very clearly a drone of some form. Okay, again, you would think this is the point where I start filming, right? Because my phone was right there in my hand. No. I do not know why. I usually wouldn't react in this way, but I thought if I open the window, perhaps I could touch it. So I started opening the window. At that point, whatever that drone was, it just went really fast up above the house. Zero acceleration, incredible speed. I've never seen anything like it. At that point, I finally realized this is something different, this is something wrong. This is okay. I probably should not have been attempting to touch this in the first place. Now, I don't know whether it's something military. I do not know if it's some kind of new technology. There was a family from Hong Kong that recently moved across from the street with us. In retrospect, they did have a Ring doorbell. I should have asked them for that footage, but I was too scared and I thought I genuinely don't want to be involved with anything military or put in a little black room with a light in my face. So I kind of just thought, you know, better not to dig into this. Well, it could have been biological, but fairly certain it had a technological element about it of some form. But I did do a little bit of research because I was quite curious and there wasn't a lot in the news about that at the time. I would say a year after that, I found a Freedom of Information request in the UK that someone submitted. And in that FOI, there was information that in 2009, someone had observed exactly the same object above the hospital in Tooting. So that thing is still around there in Wimbledon. It was viewed at the beginning of Clarence Road. So if anyone else has seen it in London, around Tooting, Wimbledon area, it would be great to hear from them. Don't know what it is. It's almost better if it is alien or interdimensional beings, because whomever has that technology, if they send 1,000 of those things that are completely silent, have massive battery power and can go incredibly fast without acceleration, well, they might as well just take over the country. Anyway, that's my story, the black blob of Wimbledon. Bye.
Thank you, caller, for that excellent report. Now, are these two objects one in the same? Both stories originate from England. Both describe them as a bit blob-like at certain points in their sighting. And both witnesses detail that strange, shiny black liquid material that the objects seem to be made up of. Now, of course, there is the obvious discrepancy here. One was an orb shape, while the other was shaped like a man. But both descriptions made the object sound so fluid, so shapeless. I can't help but wonder if whatever it was, it didn't have shape-shifting abilities. A ball one moment, and a man the next. Well, since we don't know what this is, we can speculate all we want. But I couldn't shake the thought that these two calls have more in common than we might think. Absolutely intriguing. And a big thanks to both callers for taking the time to ring in.
There's no better place to get in on the action than
one other Tuity winner in here.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive's auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. you'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You need to call him.
Now, you know, it's been a while since I shared a story about possession. So let's remedy that with this entry from Megan down in Florida.
Hey, Derek. My name's Megan. I'm a nurse and I work in Florida. I do home health now, but at the time of these events, I was working in a psychiatric hospital. This was 7 years ago. As a medical professional, we are trained, obviously, to know that there is a logical, scientific explanation for mental illness. It is a imbalance in the brain of some sort. There's, you know, a problem with the neurotransmitters, and there's nothing paranormal about that, you know, despite how it can manifest sometimes. And I've seen a lot of stuff working in the psych hospital, but there are two events that really stuck out to me. The first was a lady. I remember that she was a retired nurse. She had no prior psych history, and she was fairly controlled until one day she was just lying on her bed, and it was me, another nurse, and a CNA in the room with her, and she started screaming, "Get it out, get it out. It's inside me. Please help me, please help me." And the way that her neck looked is something I will never forget. It was contorted in this way that it looked like something was trying to come out of her. Like, imagine you're laying flat on a bed and then arch your back and arch your neck at the same time. That's what it looked like. And she was just screaming, "Help, help, get it out, get it out. It's inside me. Please help me." Eventually, she got better and went home, but we were just absolutely speechless after that happened. Me and the other staff, we were like praying over her, and I'm not religious at all. So that was super freaky and still have no explanation for that. And then the second thing that happened to me, which was kind of close to the first story I just told, it was a cute little old lady, and she was just in there for dementia with behavioral issues or something. And it's quite common for the elderly to refuse their medications if they're confused, especially, and, you know, agitation's not uncommon with dementia. This whole situation freaks me out worse than the original one. I think because it was just me and her in the room with each other and nobody else. So she's talking to me. She's about 4'11", little tiny thing, and she's smiling at me. I'm trying to give her her medications, and then all of a sudden, she starts talking into what I can only describe as a demon voice. She changed her entire voice and starts looking at me with this like twisted, creepy look on her face, still smiling the whole time. And the words she was saying were like word salad. Basically, just if you don't know what word salad is, it's just where you say a bunch of random words together that have no relation to each other that make no sense. Like, for example, "I went sun cake beer hop water slide." It's just something random. Doesn't make any sense, but she's talking in this demon voice. And I was so freaked out that I felt compelled to speak back to whatever was talking to me. And keep in mind, I had never done anything like that before. I'd never felt compelled to do that before. I mean, I'm a professional trained to know that this is illness and nothing more. And I spoke back to this thing. I said, "I know what you are, and you're not getting inside of me. You are not welcome here." And it was so bizarre. And to this day, I'm like, did I just like say that to a little old lady who's confused? But I know what I experienced in both of those situations. And I'll probably always gaslight myself and be like, no, no, that didn't really happen. But the reality is it did happen. So thanks for letting me share my story. I love the podcast. I just discovered it and I listen to it while I'm driving to my patients' houses. It helps pass the time so much. And keep up the good work. Keep it spooky. I'm sure this is not the last time you'll hear from me. Peace.
Thank you, Megan. Wild stuff. Like something straight out of a horror film. And speaking of horror films, a possessed 4'11" little old lady fits right into one as well. Has anyone seen the film Legion? Now, I admit, I do not know a lot about possession, and I'm not even sure that I believe in it. But when a nurse tells you that she saw it happen twice, well, at the very least, we need to listen. So mental illness, mental decline, or demonic possession, who am I to judge? Thank you once again, Megan, for taking the time to share. All right, gang, next up is a call from Jason, in parts unknown.
Hey, Derek, this is Jason. This would have happened back in 1998, and the location was in Boulder, Colorado. At the time, it was right after dark, and I had attended a viewing at the observatory. Boulder has two telescopes, very large telescopes. One was 16-inch and one was 18-inch, and they would put out for the community to come and view the stars. And so there was a professor that would come out, and he would set up the telescopes, and he would point all around and show the various stars. So we got to see, you know, Deneb, and we got to see some of these other great stars that were out. And of course, Colorado's weather is beautiful for stargazing. And so as I was standing there, suddenly there was this elderly gentleman standing next to me. He starts pointing up at the sky, and he's like, look. He's like, what is that? What is that? And I look up, and coming from the east, headed west, there is a silver disc. And I really compare it to, I'm 6 feet tall, and if I hold up a dime between my two fingers, so that's about 8 feet high, that's about how big it was in my viewing. So it was quite large. And of course, the Flatirons are directly to the west of us. So it was high enough up that it didn't seem to have to rise to get out of there. This little old gentleman next to me, he starts pointing to the professor. He's like, professor, professor, look up there, look up there. And I turn, and the professor looks at the ground. He doesn't look up. He refuses to look up. And this gentleman's like, he won't even look. And I got a very good look at this for about, I would say, 5 to 10 seconds as it moved slowly from the east to the west across the city of Boulder, Colorado, and across the mountains. So that's my story. And Derek, thanks for all the great stories that callers have shared. I figured it was about time that I share one with everybody else. Thanks. Have a great night.
Thank you, Jason. What the hell? What would cause the professor not to want to see whatever that thing was flying up there in the sky? Did he have fears that it would rock his worldview? Was religion a factor here? Was he simply afraid? Or did he know something the others didn't, and he knew not to make eye contact with it? Well, perhaps our next caller can fill us in on what happens if we do make contact with whatever these things are. Please welcome Joe to tonight's program.
Hey, Derek, this is Joe Tribble from Michigan. So this happened in San Jacinto, California, back when I was in high school, 2008, August, actually. So it was a annular lunar eclipse that day, and we have a whole bunch of family coming over just to watch and last barbecue before it gets cold. But very uncharacteristically, I get so tired, and I'm in bed by 7 o'clock. The lunar eclipse is actually like an hour and a half or something away then. So I'm laying in bed. Out of my window, I can actually see where it's gonna be, the lunar eclipse, I could see the moon, and I could see the shadow start going over, but just as it keeps going, I just get more and more tired, and then I just conk right out. And I wake up only after the eclipse is completely done. After a while, everybody else leaves. They say bye to me, because at that point, I'm a little bit more awake. Still wondering why I conked out right then and there. But later that night, so it's about 1 o'clock, and I'm struggling to fall asleep, which is my norm. But as I'm laying there, I get this really strong sensation of some pressure that feels like arms underneath my back. And then a second later, I'm basically lifted from my bed, but just from my torso. So my arms, my legs are falling. And at first I think maybe somebody's just messing with me, but then I realize my arm went down past where the arm sensation was coming from, and it didn't clip onto anything. You know, I didn't bump into anybody or anything, and I just get filled with just enough horror, I guess you can say, to throw my head back and just kind of... And then immediately I drop down the bed, and I'm not ashamed to say I actually put my covers over my head and just kind of like sat there to decompress, try to figure out what in the world just happened. Anyway, I've never had any sort of explanation for that. Nobody was in my room. I had the door closed the whole time. Even looking it up, I can only find possible sleep paralysis, but it's like the opposite of what people tend to report. So there's that. And then just about a year or so later, I'm sleeping in the same bed, and I come in, I lay back just kind of to rest for a little bit, get ready to put on pajamas or whatever. I conk out. And when I wake up in the morning, all my clothes are off and I'm not even under the covers. I'm just laying off to the side and my door's closed again. Nobody came in and I still have no idea what that was other than possibly alien abduction or sleepwalking or something like that. But shortly after that, my health started to decline really bad and I've only just now gotten better. Anyway, thanks. Bye.
We appreciate the call, Joe. Now, there are many clues here that Joe had himself a genuine alien abduction experience. Being lifted out of bed, lifted by the torso, no less. The feeling of a presence in the room, waking up dressed differently than when he went to sleep. And of course, changing or declining health. That's typically a sign as well. Now, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, Joe. But all these details sound so similar to those that are given over and over by those that claim they were taken, abducted, kidnapped by UFOs and the creatures that inhabit them. But you all already knew that. We talk about this sort of thing here on the show all the time. This isn't our first abduction rodeo. But there is a new wrinkle in this story that I don't recall hearing before. So that sent both myself and my researcher, Delaney, digging. And this came to me as a bit of a shock, but there are no credible accounts of an abduction occurring during a solar or lunar eclipse. None that have been reported, anyway. But the same can't be said for UFO sightings, because it seems like that sort of thing is very common. There was a total eclipse of the sun over Mexico City back in 1991. Thousands pointed their consumer-grade camcorders toward the sky, and one of my favorite programs ever was there to help capture the event. The following clip was pulled from the television program, Sightings.
The sightings began on July 11th, 1991. On that day, there was a total eclipse of the sun. one of the best places in the world to view the eclipse was Mexico City. And for the first time, because of the home video revolution, thousands of people pointed their video cameras to the skies.
Exactly at the time of the full solar eclipse, a disc-shaped craft appears over the city, hovers for over 30 minutes. 17 people on the ground recorded it on home video. And that's never happened before in the history of ufology.
When modern scientists forecasted the date of the historic solar eclipse, they weren't alone. Some believe the ancient Mayas also predicted the exact date of the eclipse more than 3,000 years ago. This Maya calendar made another startling revelation. It predicted that on the day of the eclipse, a new age of enlightenment would begin. It's referred to as the prophecy of the sixth sun.
The legend of the sixth sun, the new sun, signified by the great eclipse that just occurred, speaks of an opening of knowledge. The sixth sun indicates precisely the moment of its arrival.
Strangely, on the day of the eclipse, something did arrive in the skies over Mexico. Hundreds of those home video cameras that were shooting the eclipse got something completely unexpected. UFOs, unidentified flying objects, all videotaped by hundreds of different people. So far, more than 110 home videos have been verified as containing footage of unexplained craft.
Now I remember this UFO flap from when I was a kid. It seemed like so many people were witness to this activity, that surely something would have come of it. But here we are 35 years later, and still no answers. Now, I posted a clip to this episode up in the show notes. You should go take a look. There are countless examples of home videos showing strange objects in the sky. Objects that are very similar to what Jason described earlier in this program. A bright silver tube, or possibly a disc. Now, there are other reports out there that claim that witnesses have seen these things during other rare celestial events. In fact, it's even happened before, here in SoCal, where Joe's story took place. And to help sell that point, please enjoy this clip from another show that I enjoy. The proof is out there on the History Channel.
September 27th, 2015. I was actually in the Westwood area of Los Angeles. I go out to see the lunar eclipse. I'm joined by several of my neighbors. We're all standing on the corner. But it's cloudy, so they give up because they don't believe they can see the lunar eclipse. However, I had this hunch. Something told me to stay. So I remain standing there on the corner. And as I look up, I see this object about the size of two or three football fields, slowly gliding through the air without a sound. I began taking photographs, and that is the image that you have. The sighting itself lasted approximately 5 minutes. I must have taken at least a dozen photographs. I felt fascinated, awestruck. I had the feeling, or call it the gut feeling, that I was seeing something not from this world.
Now again, go to the show notes to check out the photographs mentioned in the clip. Now we just had one of these rare celestial events a month or so ago, a lunar eclipse. I was standing in my yard at 3 a.m., freezing my tuchus off, trying to get a look. But I guess all this time I should have been looking for little green men instead. Because it certainly seems like something about this event seems to draw the men. But we're going to keep our eyes open on this strange connection, if it even exists. But from the sounds of things, something unusual happened to Joe on each of those evenings. Now, was it aliens or something else that caused it? Well, that's the $10 million question. But until info trickles in, a big thanks to Joe for sharing whatever it was that happened to him. And a big thanks to you, listener, for joining in here tonight. Because that's going to do it for this evening. Unless you like secret stories, or the beyond, or a badass outro. For all that, you want to stick around. But for now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to like us on our social media pages. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Join our Discord server and leave us a rate and review, wherever you can do such a thing. Don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. They have all sorts of great programming. You just might want to check them out. Now, finally here this evening. Tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now be sure to watch our film, BoregoTriangle.com. We'll get you there. Check out Monsters Among Us Jr. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. And join us in the beyond. I'm doing something unusual over there tonight, so it might be a good evening to join us. Just visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click that Patreon tab. All right, sit tight. I'll be right back. But if you choose not to join us, be sure to keep it spooky and to have yourself a good night. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. They make it super simple. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with coverage options tailored to your choices. Plus, you'll see which discounts you may qualify for, like the online quote discount or savings for paying in full. In fact, 99% of Progressive's auto customers earn at least one discount. See if you could save when you switch to Progressive. You'll feel good about making a savvy choice. Visit Progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little extra cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings may vary.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The true story of the almost perfect crime.
Now, tonight's secret entry is like most, in that it's unusual. What do you make of this one, folks? From Anonymous, in parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. I would like to remain anonymous for this episode. My story happened when I was 3, and it isn't too young to remember because I remember this so vividly and probably one of the scariest things that happened in my life. I've never had paranormal things happen. Nothing creepy, nothing weird. This is the only thing. I have never had sleep disturbances, never any insomnia problems, and never sleep paralysis. But when I was 3, we rented a house in a suburban area, and I remember that night. It was a normal night. Nothing happened. No events, no holidays, nothing. My mom had tucked me in to go to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard laughing noises. Loud, loud laughing. Like a crowd of people at a comedy show. and I didn't open my eyes for a while because it was scary and I didn't know what was going on. And then eventually it just didn't stop. So I opened my eyes and there were these neon bright faces everywhere, all around my room. And my room was a really decent size for a toddler. And they were laughing and kind of turning while they were laughing at me. And it was just so bizarre. And I was like, okay, this is a weird dream. So I pinched myself. I breathed. I blinked. Everything a little kid could do to try to, you know, it's not real. This isn't happening. But it was. And I remember that because I remember plugging my ears with my fingers, and I plugged them so hard to the point where my fingers and my ears both hurt so bad. And I got under my covers while trying to hold my fingers in my ears, and I pulled my covers closed, I clamped my eyes shut, and I forced myself to go to sleep. And in the morning, my mom came to wake me up, and I still had my ears clamped and my eyes clamped shut, and I was still under the covers and I was in a cold sweat. And my mom was like, why are you under the covers? And I told her, Mom, there were these creepy faces laughing at me last night, and you're not supposed to believe your child when they say that. And it was just the creepiest thing ever. And I told my mom, I brought it back up years later. Do you remember when I told you about the faces? And she said, yeah. And then I described how it felt to her, and she just thought it was weird because she didn't think I'd remember it. But that is probably the only weird thing that's ever happened. I can't say it's paranormal, but it was really creepy. Thank you for your time, and keep up the great work.
Thank you, caller. Creepy indeed. Just last week, we shared a call from Ryan in California, and he shared a story about his young son who told him about strange neon bright butterflies that he saw in his room, and later an odd face that he witnessed in a mirror. And I'm not saying these two stories are similar, but I am saying the two reminded me of one another. But in reality, we have no idea what this could have been. But I do know that we enjoyed it. So thank you again, caller, for taking the time to make the call. And folks, this is where we kick it into top gear and put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. We're headed beyond. And to join us, all you have to do is pledge $5 a month. You can cancel any time to either Patreon or Apple subscriptions. Now, there is a free trial offered with both. A $5 pledge will give you access to all of our back catalog, days and days worth of episodes. And you get the remainder of this episode, and you get everything completely ad-free. Now, tonight's episode is one that you probably won't want to miss, because this week we're dusting off the old case file and cycling through nearly a dozen stories all about sleep paralysis. That's right, it's your latest installment of the Sleep Paralysis Files. So enjoy these calls uninterrupted, beginning with Jennifer out of Big Sky Country.
Hi there, my name is Jennifer. I live in Montana. This story, however, took place on the outskirts of Seattle, about a half hour, maybe southeast of Seattle, a small town called Auburn. And I was 16 years old at the time. That would make it approximately 1981. I have told this story only to my younger sister. We shared a bedroom at that time in our house, not an older home, no any other paranormal experiences of any kind in the house, save the one I'm about to tell you. Every night, for a period of time, probably 4, maybe 6 months that this took place, it was not every night, but it was several nights of each and every week, and it scared me to the point that I would turn off the light, run and jump into bed, and cover myself as much as I could to feel safe. I didn't like my face covered. It caused me to feel a little claustrophobic, but I would cover literally right over my chin to be sure that I somehow was safe. Mostly kept my eyes closed, hoped it would be a night where I could just fall asleep. But on the night that that did not happen, what was occurring in my room was that I would feel suddenly the sleep paralysis that we speak about. I couldn't move, I couldn't speak, and I would hear a sound in my room. It was not excessively loud, but it sounded like a wind. And I could hear that it moved in a circular motion above my head at the ceiling level, and it moved rather rapidly, and there would be a buzz somewhere that became present towards it. It always seemed to me that it came from what I perceived as the center of this wind that was rushing in a circular manner above my bed.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.